For God so loved the world. Today, for a few moments, we'll think about the world that God so loved. John uses the word world many times. 78 times in this gospel and 24 times in his letters. Paul, in all of his letters, uses that word only 47 times. So John really uses the word world. There are a variety of meanings for the word world. It can mean the universe. It can mean the earth. It can mean the people on earth and most people. Sometimes the world refers to people opposed to God. Or the human system opposed to God's purposes. And when I think about that, I think of Psalm 2. Why do the nations conspire against the Lord and against His ways? John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world." And here the world refers to all people on earth. John 4:42 says that Jesus is the Savior of the world. And Matthew 5:14 refers to Jesus as the light of the world. So this morning, let's consider some of the people that God so loves. Maybe we could begin with the world into which Jesus came. Some of the people who were there on the scene at the time, the world back then. God loves old people. People like Zechariah and Elizabeth. These folks were well past the prime of life. They were good people. God-honoring people. Disappointed people. Disappointed that God had not blessed them with a family to follow and to carry on their heritage. And they were starting to come near the end of their days. God loves the world of people who are old and others who may feel not useful and not desired. The people in the Madison Lutheran home and other older folks that you know or that you have become. The world God loves includes people who grow old and who face limitation and loss. God so loved the world. The shepherds, in some sort of a way, were kind of like this. The shepherds, I think, may represent the no-names, the no-name people of the world. Those people who function kind of on the fringes and behind the scenes, who do not grab the attention of anyone. The people we and everyone else seemed to just overlook. Maybe we felt that way. Everyone else, it seems, is somehow in the limelight while we kind of fade away and cower in the shadows. I suppose that can happen to most of us at some time or other. But there are those whose entire lives seem to be lived in the shadows. Think of some of the people in the Bible. Well, no, maybe not, because they're not there. They're not there. They're part of the masses of people that live during that day that don't make the story. Look around you in school, at work, at the store. They're there. We just haven't noticed, or we tend not to notice those folks without power or without prestige or without position. They're part of the world that God so loved. God loves young people too, like teenager Mary. Mary, who is not sexually active and who then becomes pregnant. Mary, who made many people wonder and whisper. Mary, who confused and greatly disappointed Joseph until the angel came in the dream and cued Joseph into what was going on. But God loves young people not as pure or proper as Mary. In fact, Jesus was born of Mary. Jesus made his entrance into the world for people whose lives are really a screwed up mess. Rebellious young people, sexually reckless young people hooking up with the godless culture in every way. They're part of the world that God so loves. They too need to hear that God loves them. It's interesting that in the listed lineage or genealogy of Jesus, that in that day when this was recorded, that women appear anywhere on the list at all. I mean, that would have been unheard of. And then that they include Rahab, a prostitute, and Ruth, who was not a Jew but a hated Moabitess, and there's Tamar, who committed adultery with her father-in-law, and Bathsheba, who played a key role with David in his adulterous and murderous mess. The world into which Jesus came was a world full of dysfunctional, messed up people. God loves young people and families who make poor choices and who have a knack for really screwing things up. God so loved the world. And God loves worldly people. If you are somewhat near my age, and if you grew up in a Christian home, then you might have heard around your home, you might have heard the term floating around, worldly. Worldly. I think worldly meant people whose sins are obvious to those of us in the church. In the words of Philip Yancey, we often judge people whose sin is different than ours. Craig Groeschel has written Christian Atheist, where he argues that many of us who say we believe, and we really do believe, but still we live as though we don't believe. Believers, yet day-to-day practical atheists, whom God loves. God loves the world, and that includes atheists, and it includes those who believe and yet live as they don't really believe. In his book titled 316, The Numbers of Hope, Max Lucado writes about the hard-heartedness of God's people on the Exodus. Moses didn't come down from the mountain, and he didn't come down, and he didn't come down. The people became afraid and they made an idol to worship, a golden calf before which they could bow. And Lucado writes this, more than 3,000 years removed, we understand God's frustration. Turn to a statue for help? How stupid. Face your fears by facing a cow? Utterly foolish. And he puts it in, italicizes it, utterly foolish. We opt for more sophisticated therapies, belly-stretching food binges, or budget-busting shopping sprees. We bow before a whiskey bottle, or we lose ourselves in an 80-hour work week. Progress? Hardly. We still face our fears without facing God. We all are part of the world that God so loves. And we can be glad that God loves the world. We can be glad that the initiative is His. God so loves. He is the lover, and our relationship with Him is dependent on His love and not on the superior quality of our faith. We can trust in God our Father and His love. We do not have faith in our faith, but in our Father in heaven, who so loved the world that includes feeble-faithed people like some of us. God so loved the world of nice people, the world of messed up people all around us, the world that includes us. And the world includes people far from us. My good friend Jerry, he was leading a class at Bethel Baptist back in Mankato, a class on Christians and Muslims and how we understand the Muslim world and how we interface and interact. And they invited a local Muslim leader who Jerry knows to visit the class. And it seems that for Jerry and for some others at Bethel Baptist, some friendships are budding. The worship leader, Glenn, told me, he said, I've had this gentleman into my home and now I've been invited into his home. Maybe learning to love those who are different than us. Maybe learning to love the world that the Father loves. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. In recent days, we've been grimly reminded of what a tragedy of deep, deep proportions it is to lose a child. And yet we find reason to celebrate in this season, and it's because God so loved this messy, deadly world that he sent his Son for us, that we might have hope and that we might have life. I appreciated the priest from Newtown, Connecticut, who was asked on camera the other day if people should turn out their Christmas lights now in response to the incredible evil and loss in their community. And he said, of course not. He said, now if ever we need to be reminded of the coming of a Savior, of the hope that we can have because of him. I also think of the news reporters and commentators who have come right out and have addressed the very real issue, the very real presence of evil. And I just think, I play with these word games now and then, you know, evil is live spelled backwards. It's kind of the opposite of what it means to live. And the commentators who are wrestling with what happened wrestle with what we can do. What can we do? This isn't the first time this keeps happening. What can we do? Well, the world where we struggle with evil and darkness, the world desperately needs a Savior, right? The world needs a Savior. And I think that's where we're going to stop for this morning. We'll stop with this great word of what God has done, that he sent his Son. For God so loved the world, that he gave his one and only Son.